The reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. So 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 to 16. And you can follow in the service sheets. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last.
Thank you, Paul. Let's pray as we dive into God's word. Father, we thank you that when we listen to the Bible open and shared, we are hearing your word speak to us. Pray that we'd recognize it today as an active and living word amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the other day, Heather and I went with Ezra to explore a new park. And as we were leaving, we noticed through the bushes a clubhouse. And on the clubhouse, it said Thames Valley Tug of War Club. And did you guys know there were tug of war clubs? Has anyone played tug of war competitively? No, we just thought it was the sort of thing you do at like a school sports day or something like that. So I went online to have a look at kind of the structure of the sport. And actually, since the beginning, it's been the same. That's all the way since the ancient world they used to do tug of war. It was an event in the Olympics in the 1900s. And all the way to the World Championships today, it's been the same. Two groups of people pulling on a rope as hard as they possibly can. Two opposing forces trying to tug the rope over to their side, and the strongest wins. I wonder if, as Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians, he had that picture of a tug of war in mind. It existed in ancient Greece where he was writing, so he might have been familiar with it. Because what he's describing in this text is a bit like a tug of war. But instead of a rope, the forces are at work on the Thessalonian church. There's the word of God, which is pulling them closer to him. And there's the world that's trying at all lengths to stop that happening. This letter makes it clear that we should expect both of those forces to be present in our own life, both as a church and in our personal walk with Jesus. So let's have a look at both of those forces in detail. Firstly, the word at work in us. The word at work in us. I wonder if you saw that Paul makes a pretty big claim in verse 13. Have a look at it again with me, what he's thankful for. We're thankful to God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, did you hear the claim that he's making? The word of God, which you heard from us. Paul says here that the word of God didn't come with the clouds parting and a beam of light and the earth shaking like we might see in the movies, but it came from Paul and those with him. Heard from us, plural. Their ministry, that's the kind of ministry we were thinking about last week with Piers, was more than just storytelling and persuasive debate. They were speaking the word of God. When someone faithfully and truthfully shares the gospel, God is speaking through them. Think about extension cables. Bit of a jump. There's lots of them behind me. But now if I plug one of our extension cables into the wall over there, and run it outside and plug it into a lawnmower so I can cut the grass, where can I say that the lawnmower is getting its electricity from? It would be true to say that it's getting it from the extension lead. It'd be as true to say it's getting it from the wall plug. The same power is running through that extension cable, and it doesn't change just because it's coming from a different source being passed through it. In the same way, God's word holds that same power when it's coming through us as if it were God speaking himself. When we share the gospel with someone, they are hearing God speak. worth pausing on that for a moment, don't you think? What's happening when we open the Bible together and hear it preached? God is speaking. What's happening when we share our faith with a colleague at work? God is speaking. What's happening when we tell Bible stories to our children? We're hearing God speak. We might convince ourselves that we shouldn't be the ones to share the gospel. We're not very good at it. We're not very persuasive. We're not clever enough. We can't make it appealing. But actually, it's not about us. As we saw in the passage there, it's not a human word. It doesn't matter what we do. No matter what we do, we can't add the power to the word of God. We don't need to sell it. We just need to pass it on faithfully and clearly so that others can receive it faithfully and clearly. God is speaking through people. And that is also how people hear God speak. It's here in the passage. Firstly, it's preached. Someone shares the word of God. They heard it, verse 13. And then someone receives it. And then, God willing, they may welcome it as the word of God. See in verse 13 at the end there. You accepted it as it actually is, the word of God, which is working those who believe. What it actually is, the word of God. The second time Paul said it, the Thessalonians took hold of the gospel and welcomed it into their lives as the word of God. It was preached, they received it, and they accepted it as the word of God. In this room today and online, there will be those of us who are in different places in that series of events. For some of us, we will know, welcome, and accept the gospel as God's word. For others, we may have heard this message before. We may have been to church before. We've heard sermons before. We've heard about Jesus, but we've not accepted it as the word of God. And for others still, this will be totally new. This will be the first time we're hearing that sort of thing. I pray for all of us that today we would hear God speaking and know it's God's word we're hearing. It's not Paul's word. It's not my word. It's God's word. And I pray that because the word of God is not like any human word, we would feel it at work. We shouldn't be surprised if we feel energized by what we're hearing when we come to church, when the scriptures are opened, because that's the word of God working. It's a living and active word, working in those who have accepted it as God's word. And if you did recognize yourself as that person who doesn't recognize this as the word of God, who hasn't accepted it as that, and you're interested in seeing what that work is that the word does, we get a glimpse of it in this letter. The work of the word of God is a transforming work. If you have a Bible in front of you, you could cast your eye back to chapter 1 as the Thessalonians turn from the idols to serve the living and true God in verse 10. But here in verse 13, you'll note it's present tense. See at the end of verse 13 there, in work at you, in you who believe. It is at work now, currently. It's a bit like paracetamol. You know, when you pop paracetamol for your headache, the headache starts to go straight away. But the paracetamol keeps on working and working after that, after the initial response has happened. This is the same as the word at work. It turns us from our sins toward the living God, but it doesn't stop there. It keeps working in us. It keeps renewing us, shaping us, molding us, renewing us, transforming us. It's continually active in our lives. And that's just as true for us today as it is for the Thessalonians. When we accept the gospel as the word of God, it works within us. Many of us here will be able to share how that has played out in our lives, from those initial changes to the daily differences we find as we see ourselves looking to be more like Christ. We often have a segment here at CTG. Those who've been around will remember we do the word at work slots. We did them almost every week over lockdown. And that's where we hear testimonies of God working in people's lives, how his word has refreshed them, guided them, worked in them. Because it is an active, living and working word, something we have experience of here in this church. It's not just something we hear of in far-off lands or just in the biblical texts of churches straight away in the apostolic age. No, it's at work in all believers, you, me, all of us who welcome this word into our lives as the word of God. Now, as the word works in us, both individually and as a church, to the likeness of Christ, we begin to see another force at work, one that is against us. and against the word of God and the one that Paul points to in this passage. It's our second point, the world at work against us. The world at work against us. It's this that Paul highlights as evidence of the word at work in the Thessalonians. Have a look at verse 14, where he sets out that proof that he can see this word. He says in verse 14, it indeed at work in you who believe, for, here's the evidence, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered. The evidence of the word of God in work of the Thessalonians is that they're suffering for it. But why is that evidence? Again, if you've got a Bible in front of you, you cast your eye back to chapter 1, verse 6, and we hear this same point being made. They're welcoming the message of God in suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. They're suffering at the hands of their own people, a pattern going back to Jesus and the disciples and the earliest churches, yet they endure it. And they do so with joy in the word of God. The word of God is the cause for their suffering, yet they're joyful in that. See, the truth of the gospel is always opposed somewhere along the way. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus, people have a choice to reject it or accept it, as the Thessalonians did. It stands to reason that those who reject it would also reject those who the word is working in. And yet, the ability to press on despite that opposition with joy given by the Holy Spirit is the work of the word in believers. Followers of Jesus should be expecting to transform them into the likeness of Jesus, to share in his glories, yes, but also to share in his suffering. God's word has always and will always face opposition. And therefore, those who are in his word, transformed by it and sharing it, should expect to face the same. It's a bit like being a boxer. Now, this might surprise you, but I have no experience of boxing. But I can imagine that when boxers are getting ready to go into the ring, they're hoping they don't get hit. However, it'd be a naive and foolish boxer to think he's not going to get hit at all. When a boxer gets into the ring, they're expecting to be hit at least a little bit. If they're not, it will come as a huge shock and probably knock them out straight away. They're expecting it, and that actually helps them carry on and endure in the fight. They know it's coming. When believers in Jesus step into the world in faith, they should expect opposition. In some parts, we'll come to that in a second, I've skipped ahead. In some parts of the world, such as North Korea, Afghanistan, Nigeria, that opposition could be deadly. And yet we hear from brothers and sisters in those countries of their joy in the word, their ability to endure persecution for their faith. That is the word at work. In our own climate, it probably looks very different. It could look like bullying at school for coming to church every week. It could look like pressure to conform in the workplace. It could look like mockery, banter at the pub with some friends at the expense of your faith. It could look like disciplinary procedures for stepping out and saying something. It could look like deplatforming, where we're not allowed to speak at all. If we are believers, we've probably come up against this sort of opposition somewhere. And like a boxer taking a blow in the ring, it can be really unpleasant and it can be hard to take. It can certainly be scary to see coming. And we probably find ourselves facing one of two responses. We either want to flee or we want to fight back, to run away or to counterstrike. Paul's saying here, as we face opposition with the work working in us, we can do so confidently without fleeing or fighting. So firstly, don't flee. You got a little spoiler of that one. Don't flee. When we see opposition coming, our natural self-preservation kicks in. We don't want to face it. There's normally an easy out. I can just stop doing whatever it is that's brought the opposition. We want to flee. Now, it's true that suffering for the gospel is a pattern for God's people and his churches, and that's intimidating. But there's another pattern, and that's the growth of God's people despite suffering. In other words, when these two forces come head to head in that tug of war, the word always comes out on top historically. The world has been working against the gospel since the very beginning. It tried to kill off Jesus, then the early churches, and again and again and again, but it's yet to have victory over God's word working within his people. Every attempt to squash the gospel has seen it grow. So rather than flee, climb into the ring. You're getting in with the undefeated champion. He's on your side. I hope this gives us confidence as we think about sharing the gospel, even if we may face hostility for doing so. There is a great reason to share. Have a look at verses 14 to 16. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and their prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so they may be saved. It's worth noting quickly that Paul talks of the Jews here not as the whole race. He himself was Jewish, but rather of those who have actively persecuted God's word, first from the prophets of the Old Testament, then Jesus, then to the apostles. Their attempts to kill the gospel displease God because it's denying people that opportunity to be saved, to be rescued from the coming wrath, to use Paul's words from chapter 1. Put simply, sharing God's word saves people. And for that reason, it's worth facing opposition. That series from events from earlier doesn't start if no one shares the gospel. There's no receiving, no hearing, no accepting if there's no sharing. So don't flee. Likewise, don't fight back. Maybe we know that feeling when we feel like someone is attacking our faith. So we set out to attack them back, to discredit their views, to make them seem small. Maybe even we want to lash out physically. Have a look at verse 16 again. They displease God, are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Those who oppose the gospel are digging their own graves. They're piling up their sins before God and will face the consequences for doing so. God's wrath. So certain is it, Paul can refer to it here in the past tense. It's come. Now, we don't need to fight back against our opponents because they will face God. It takes a huge amount of pressure off of us. It's not up to us to defeat our opponents, though it is our task to press on regardless of them. We're not to fight back, but we're also not to back out. We're given strength to endure, not to overpower. We're to expect opposition. We're to expect the world to work against us, but we're to stand firm in the gospel. As we come toward the end, I wonder what it is that makes us afraid of sharing the gospel. What is it that makes us want to fight back when we face opposition? Let me think for a moment, because it will be different for each of us, our trigger points, where we feel the pressure. We're all too quick to forget who is on our side, who is working with us. And as we bring those areas to mind, those pressure points, be reminded that it's not man we're seeking to please, but God. And when we share his gospel with others, he is speaking through us. What a privilege, brothers and sisters. What a joy it is. I hope that will energize us in our witnessing. As we think of colleagues we want to share the gospel with, as we think about Bible reading with friends we haven't yet got around to, the school CUs that we heard about just at the prayer supper that we're hoping to establish or keep going, we do it in the strength of the word of God working within us to endure whatever opposition we may face. The world may work against us, but the word of God is always working with us and for us. Let me close our time in prayer, and then the saplings will head through to their group as well. Father, thank you that you have given us your word to hear from. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that you gave it to us so we may know what your thoughts are, what your heart is, that we may know you better. And thank you that every time we share it with someone, we are sharing your word that you are speaking through us. Pray that, Lord, that that energizes us in our witnessing, in our sharing of the gospel. And Lord, would you strengthen all of us to endure any opposition we may face for doing so as we trust in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.